It's November 16th, 2010. This is Aaron Smith, the art guy. My lights are on and I'm not home. This is the Academic Aesthetic and Academic Tech podcast. It is cold, it's dark, it's rainy. I am going home from a very long day at school that started with a meeting and ended with the meeting and had a meeting in the middle of it as well. But not everything was bad about that. Yeah, I really don't think I'm going to be able to remove all this with the noise removal feature without totally making my voice sound like a robot. So I'm just going to apologize and pretend that the rain you're hearing hitting my windshield is sort of like background soothing white noise type stuff. But whatever. As a wrap-up from over the weekend, I got to present at the Powering Up the Technology Conference, which is an incredibly cool conference. Lots of people from all over the place, mostly from within my county, because my county's the group that sponsors it. But the really, really neat thing about it is they have it on a Saturday. So everyone you meet will be someone who thinks learning about educational technology is important enough to give up their weekend. You can find all kinds of teachers willing to give up a school day for a professional development day at a convention. You won't find as many that are willing to give up something where they already had a day off. So everyone there is really enthusiastic, ready to learn, looking for ideas, looking to give suggestions, get suggestions. It works out really well. I had a blast presenting. My presentation was basically I took a lesson that I teach my students and I revamped it a bit for teachers. It was how to find things online. And yeah, Google is what you get for most of those searches, but there's so much more besides just using Google. I showed how to use the advanced search feature. I showed how to use Delicious. Yes, I know Live Binders is the up-and-coming thing that's supposed to be better than Delicious, but all my links are saved on Delicious still, and I like using it. It's very nice. I was not the only person from my building to present. I'm not going to go into all the details because there's so much more I want to talk about, but yeah. Conference, really cool. I need to write a couple blog posts about that. One will not do it justice. Moving on, I have revamped my entire lesson like I think I remember saying I would. I've never really taught the same 9-week course twice. I'm very proud of that fact. And when I was redoing my course for this quarter, I deliberately, and this is my story, I'm sticking to it, I deliberately left several days free at the end of my schedule. Why did I do that? Because without fail, every quarter, something has come up that I thought was incredibly cool and I thought deserved a few days of instruction. Without fail. And every time that's happened, I've had to take another lesson and cut it out. So rather than agonizing over it later, I planned it in on purpose this time. And wouldn't you know it, this past weekend, something came up. That something is Minecraft. If you have not played Minecraft, yes, it is a game, sort of, then go to Minecraft.net. You can play it for free. There is the alpha version and there's the classic version. The classic version is what I'm interested in using with my students because it's totally free. You don't need to create an account. You can't save your work without creating an account, but the lessons I'm trying to come up with don't require you to save them anyway, so it should work. I ended up buying a copy of Minecraft. It's like 10 euros, give or take. I think that works out to roughly $15 US. And you know what? That's 1 month of World of Warcraft, and you get to keep the game forever, pretty much. So I thought I'd try it out. It's incredibly addictive. If you are the type of person that likes virtual worlds where you can build things, like, let's say, for example, you've played Second Life, this might be a game that interests you. So, the classic version, which is what my students would be using, You're in a 3D virtual world where pretty much everything except you consists of 1 meter cubed blocks. There are different properties and different types of physics for some of these blocks, but pretty much every block that exists in the game is available to you, and you can carve your way through the existing blocks in the world, and you can add new blocks in. So you're basically crafting the world around you with infinite resources. This can be sort of fun, but I don't want to have a lesson where I'm just going to sit down and say, okay, play with this. Well, maybe I'll do that at first just so they can explore the world and get a feel for the controls, but that's not something I can grade. I need something that I can assess to show that learning is taking place, and I need a way to tie it into the curriculum. So I'm going to take a good hard look at the technology standards, the visual arts standards, and see what I can do with this. There is a way to host your own server for Minecraft, which I'm going to look into. I'm not so sure that's going to work because they might have to register for accounts, and that opens up a whole can of worms with, okay, do they have to pay for these accounts? If there's money involved, I'm not doing it. Just because I want this to be accessible to all students without any barrier to entry whatsoever. A parent says, no, I'm not paying $15 for one lesson for you. Yeah, I'm not doing that. But if there's a way for me to set it up so that they don't need a paid account to have a hosted server with me hosting the server, well, then I could have them working together in a virtual world. That opens up so many possibilities. Teamwork in a virtual environment. These are useful skills that are used today in businesses. A quick lesson I thought up off the top of my head, I often do a project with Excel, and oh, wow, Excel, let's make a pie chart. No, I don't have them do that so much as I have them take the Excel cells, move them all into squares, which is like two steps. It's not very hard to do at all. And then use the color features to change the background colors of the different cells to make a picture. Usually I tie that in with artwork by Mondrian because it's a very similar format. And then they upload the Excel document for grade. I might have them do that as an introduction lesson, and then introduce Minecraft and have them recreate what they made in Excel, because really it's all pixels or squares, or if you make it 3D then it's cubes, and have them remake what they made in Excel. These are just ideas I've thought up off the top of my head. I need to think of more if I want Minecraft to be my end of the quarter lesson. I've enlisted some aid. I have a student from my last 9 weeks course that is exceptionally bright. His enthusiasm, let's just say, is not always directed in a way that parents and teachers would appreciate. But the fact remains that he remains enthusiastic. Minecraft is one of the things that he's enthusiastic about. I am going to send him some objectives, things that I would like to try to teach using Minecraft. He's been playing Minecraft longer than me. He has the opportunity to play Minecraft more often than I do. He doesn't happen to have a full-time job as a teacher and go to technology conferences on his Saturdays. I'm going to ask him for his thoughts for how certain things could be implemented. Now, am I going to have him design the lesson from scratch and just teach exactly what he tells me? No, probably not. He doesn't have a master's in education yet. But he has insight into a field that interests me, that I think can be used for educational purposes, that I just don't have yet. I am going to use him as a resource. I am going to use him as an expert in the field of that particular video game to see if there's educational value in it. And if for whatever reason I decide to scrap this whole idea, currently the Minecraft lessons that I'm sort of penciling in are for the end of the 9 weeks. This is second quarter. We have Thanksgiving break and winter break, if we want to be politically correct, in here. So this is an incredibly long period of time between the beginning of the marking period, where we are now, and the end of the marking period, where I'll be teaching this. Hopefully. So if things don't work out, I still have time to put something else in that spot. I have other lessons I can use that are fallback lessons that I probably won't use, because if Minecraft doesn't work out, I'll probably have another next big thing. And you know what? It's kind of neat that I've finally figured out I need to have that empty time spot in there in my coursework, because teaching technology is a moving target. There's always something else that's new, and if we're not teaching what's going on now, well, it'd be great to teach what's going on 2 weeks from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now, but we don't have that ability. If I'm not teaching what's going on now, my students are going to fall behind. Most classes fall behind just because it takes so long to update a textbook. Well, you know what? I'm working on a textbook. My third graders are writing it. But that's a subject for another podcast. This has gone on long enough. So, if you want to get a hold of me and leave comments, you can do so. My website is academicaesthetic.com. That's where this podcast is posted. It's posted other places also, but that's where I would like you to leave the comments. You can email me at theartguy@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at theartguy. So I'm going to wrap this up. Until next time, stay subscribed, fare thee well, and yeah, my lights are on and I'm still not home. But then some people have been saying that for years.